Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen.
There's another one. We're doing the Mando reviews. You ready for this? Season finale. I'm pumped. Where am I? Oh, there we go. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode. Last episode, I guess, for this season. It's The Mandalorian. It is season one, episode eight, chapter eight, that is. It is the end of it. We're done. And I'm pretty pumped of what we saw for this particular season. I hope you guys are. We're going to be talking to you guys for this entire episode here. And, yeah, getting into it, man. So I can't spend too much time here today because, you know, family stuff and all that. I'm going to try to get a good hour in if that's possible. So I don't know if anyone will be able to get to a watch along, but we will try. But I wanted to get to the overall review, spoiler heavy review of The Mandalorian Chapter 8. Titled Redemption, directed by Taika Waititi, and I'm ready to do it. So, no, I don't necessarily know if it's no watch along. I'm gonna try to do it. I just need to be able to do it. Just give us enough time in order to do it. And you know, it's like a 45-minute episode. So, let's see what I can do. But I don't know yet. But I'm gonna try. Yeah, let's start with the fact that I want to take questions from you guys, and I want to make sure that we can talk about it. So go to streamlabs.com/theschmodown, or you can do Super Chat. If you're joining me for the first time, the difference is that in Streamlabs, they don't take a percentage is where Super Chat does, and you can get way more characters if you want to ask a more detailed question inside of it. But I rely on you guys to a lot of this stuff because there's certain things that I might have missed that you want to talk about. So go on over there. Plus the fact that that's how we keep doing these shows. It's for whatever you guys are able to donate. That would be tremendous if you're able to do that. So go to streamlabs.com/theschmodown. I will go there momentarily and start answering some questions, but I wanted to get into my overall thoughts on this episode, and I really dug it, man. I really dug the last three episodes. I thought that the series as a whole started off really, really great. And I think it was the first three episodes I was on board with. I did not like, I think it was number five. Four was okay. That was when we first got introduced to Cara Dune. I thought that was pretty, that one wasn't bad. I liked it more than most people did, I think. But the fifth episode was the worst, I thought. And I was like, okay, where are we going to go after this? Because we're just going to do Adventure of the Week here. And I think from six on, even though I know six was like another side adventure, it opened up the show to do just different things. But seven last week was, up until today, was my favorite episode because of everything that we had seen thus far with the Mandalorian, the connections he made throughout the way, with Creel and Cara Dune and an IG-11, obviously, like all these relationships that he made, and obviously taking care of the baby and watching over the baby, and then we got introduced to Gideon at the very end, right? And that's when we said, "Oh, that was a great episode." Well, then it just gets dumped on its head in this one, man. I mean, it just starts right off the bat. Now we'll talk about the two. There's the one guy from, I guess, the Mindy Project, and Jason Sudeikis, who were the two troopers, the voices anyway, the two troopers in the beginning. Now, the second I saw this scene, I said, "Well, this is definitely a Taika episode. You can feel it. It almost feels a little too modern." The conversation itself, and it's like a Tag and Bink type thing. Also, if you're familiar with Tag and Bink. And I was like, okay, where are we going with it? I did laugh pretty hard when they did the thing with the stormtroopers trying to shoot the cans, and they don't even get close to it. It's just they're so terrible, and they're horrible shots. And the fact that as it looks like Sudeikis is the one who punches the baby in his face, which was another one where that scene just went on a little too long, just a little too long. But I appreciated what was going for because I was getting a little nervous that the whole episode was going to be like that, and it wasn't, because that was just kind of like a little frosting on top to say, okay, just enjoy this for a second, because wait to see what we're about to get you into. The only thing that I thought was, because you had this seven left you with this feeling of kind of despair, and we had just seen Nick Nolte eat it, so there was this, oh, what's happening? Where are we at? And it starts with this lighthearted moment, but I understand the reasoning to do the lighthearted moment. It's because not only does the lighthearted moment end with death and IG-11 coming in? It ends, it eases you into what's about to happen in this entire episode. So overall, I understood why the moment was there. And it is also pretty relevant to why every director that goes in there has their own flair and their own style. And you can also see why Taika is so talented and why he's able to do. I had the pleasure of meeting him once when I was over at Collider, and he's naturally one of the funniest people I've ever met in my life. I couldn't believe how funny he was, and not one of these like, oh, this guy's always on. He just how he was. It's just you could have a serious conversation with the guy, but in the middle of it, it's just the tone, and he just had it. I mean, if he wasn't a director, he could be and he already is a successful comedic actor, but he's immensely talented. He's so talented, and to see, that's why I was like, okay, I'm gonna trust. I've seen enough of his stuff here that I'm gonna trust into this scene, and I did, and I dug it. But then after that, IG-11 comes in, and then the humor that couples that is when IG-11 holds the baby and says to him, I wish you didn't have to see that, because he just brutally murders the two stormtroopers. And knowing that the nurse, I'm glad that the nurse mode went in the way that it did, and it connected the way that it did, as opposed to yet again Creel getting like saved and he doesn't die. No, he tells the Mandalorians that Creel's been terminated. He's done. But I'm here. My mode's been on, and I'm gonna protect this kid. And I loved that. I thought that was thought all that was great. And I also was curious when IG-11 starts flying back into town. I'm like, how is he gonna blast through these things? What's he gonna do? And when he does, you buy it. Like, he's going in really fast. He's goes back to his original programming of knowing what he's going to do. Creel had put in his programming now that he was there to protect. So the way he's just sniping people out, and the Jawa's just kind of looking over, is a great moment where the Jawa's kind of, but also to throw back when our three main protagonists are pinned in, and you got Giancarlo or Gideon kind of looking at him saying, I know you're panicking. I can hear you panicking in there. And they're trying to blast through and get down to the cave where the Mandalorians are. He's like, but this, and then he gives, but that moment was, I thought that was really well written by Favreau. And what it does is that he knows the panic. He hears the panic. And let me tell you something else. I know who you are. A lot of the people aren't talking about is that Cara Dune's from Alderaan. I didn't know that. He referenced the destruction and things that had happened on Alderaan, and then also telling the Mandalorian that, hey, I know your real name, Din, and here's the other thing I know about you. And then Din goes into it and tells his whole story, and then we finally see the flashback. And I guessed it in one of the reviews. I think originally I thought that maybe it was a Jedi that had saved him, but then as you got into it, it made more sense that he said he was a foundling, so that it was Mandalorians that saved him. And we find out that's exactly what happened. The Mandalorians found him, and they're out there and saving him, and it looks, and he's flying off with the Mandalorian that saved him. He looks back over, and he knows that his life as it was is over. But he's telling this story to his now friends, you know, with Greef, and we find out that Greef was this disgraced, dignitary, and we haven't learned. We'll learn more about him. So I think that this is what I was saying. I don't know if you watched SEN Live today, but I just think that this show is some of the best Star Wars content I've seen in a very long time, maybe since Return of the Jedi, because they just have more. They have more room. They have more time to breathe. They have more time to let these characters, and this is like over a four-hour movie. We've learned so much about these characters, more so than I think we've learned about any Star Wars characters in a very long time, because they're brand new. We've been with them since the beginning, and every single episode that we're with them, we're learning more and more about them in a way that we haven't learned about, since Luke and Leia and Han. It's like, okay, this is every episode more and more and more about them and where they are, and even the way that IG-11 was presented. The end of the episode was a clear nod to the Terminator 2, like when he steps out, and even the way the music's playing, he's stepping in the lava and he's going out. And there's another I would love to have an interview with Ludwig, though, because his music is so it's like another character inside the whole series. But when the Mandalorian jumps on the TIE fighter at the very end of this episode, there's a moment that if you listen to it, it's straight out of Die Hard. I mean, it's straight out of Die Hard. And I wonder if there was any influence from that score, that Ludwig used for that particular moment. But anyway, you know, then there's obviously the big moment. I think there's so many big moments in this episode, but one of them is once IG-11 comes blasting in the town and you get that, it'll remind me of Young Guns also when they're pinned in and then they step out and they start firing and the death troopers are they're the only ones that really look like they're a threat because the other idiots can't hit anything. But Gina Kron is out there just firing away and so's Grief and they're taking their shots. And then it's like a throwback to episode one where it looks like the Mandalorian, he gets on the ship and he's blasting them. He's going to do the same thing he did last time. But this time, nope, because Gideon shoots him off the thing and he damages him and he's hurt real bad. And I love that, the fact that Cara Dune goes in there, grabs him, puts him back in, and we think, oh, all right, he's gonna make it through. And he is busted up again. This character has been busted up this entire season, but this one looks like he's done. And she's like, no, we can get you out of here. Let's do it, because IG-11 he's able to get through to the grate where they weren't able to do it before. And I thought by the way, Grief Karga's Carl Weathers had some great one-liners in this. Not only did he have the thing about loving the IG droids, but then later on he's like, yeah, tell the baby to do the magic hands. Hey baby, do the magic hands. Great. That to me was one of the funniest moments of the entire episode for sure. But as Din is sitting there and he's kind of telling her, he's like, no, I'm not going to make it through this one. And don't take the mask off or don't take the helmet off. I'm not doing it. I want to have an honorable death. Just go. And she's like, I can't leave you. He's like, just go. So IG stands behind with him. And they have this moment. And it looks like more and more that the Mandalorian is kind of warming up to him. And then he tells him, he's like, I can save you here. I can help your brain. Basically, it took some damage, but you got to let me take the helmet off or whatever he says to him before. He's like, I got to take the helmet off. He's like, if you do it, I'll kill you. Nothing alive has ever seen me with this. He's like, well, I'm not alive. And he takes it off and we see Pedro Pascal's face finally. Now I couldn't tell though. I don't know if you guys saw it and I'll look at it. I'm going to start looking at the Streamlabs questions in a second here, but and let me know if one in your question, like I said, there's a lot of characters in the Streamlabs. So when you answer, you can answer my question with when you ask a question. Did you guys think, did it seem a little like his face was CGI'd onto the body, or do you think he was actually laying there? I felt at some point I felt that he was actually there, and then at some point I felt like it was like CGI'd on. I don't know. I want to see what you guys felt. But anyway, he saves him. He gets back on his feet, and the back to stuff starts to work, and he's able to navigate them through the tunnels, and then we find out that all the Mandalorians were toast after that episode that we saw, after that episode three, chapter three episode we saw, and the armor comes out and says, no, you know, what do you expect? We revealed ourselves, and this is the thing that that's causing all these problems. And he tells her, and then finally she knows and she understands, and we go back into the history. And this is why it was so clear to me. It was so clear. It's even so much more clear if you're a fan of like Rebels and Clone Wars, that, oh man, Filoni is there with his hands in this thing, and the stuff he learned from George and all the lore it's coming in. It just felt like a nice lore refresher and somebody who's been following the canon. I was like, okay, I got it, because the Mandalorian War was talked about years and years and years ago, but also made canon in Clone Wars, obviously, thousands of years back when Vizsla was the first Jedi to be to join the Jedi Order, and then the Darksaber was created inside of that, and she goes, and we see the Darksaber at the end of the episode, but she's talking about how that time of peace, and I love their philosophies and their ideals, the Mandalorian, because he's like this, so. His kind's one of their. This is an enemy. So he's not an enemy. The Jedi, the wizards that he fought with back in the day were, but that's not our war now. That's not our fight now. So what you need to do, the way that the creed demands it, is you got to be this kid's father. You look after it. Get it back to his people. That also makes me think. Well, wait a minute. Is he going? He's going to take him back to the Jedi? And first of all, which Jedi are around right now? There's only a couple. It's Luke, Leia. Ahsoka and Ezra are running around there out there. So who's he taking them to? Because that seems to be the mission going into chapter two. He's got a bigger plan, and that's to get this thing back to his kind. Is that the Jedi? And the other idea is, what are we trying to do the Empire side of it, like, because what it looks like Gideon has been obsessed with Mandalorian culture. Clearly, if he's got the Darksaber at the end of it, and for those of you who don't know, the Darksaber, it's been a very big moments in Clone Wars and in Rebels. Darth Maul ruled Mandalore with it after he beat another Vissla for the saber in a battle, and it took over and ruled Mandalore. And then our own Katee Sackhoff, Bo-Katan, was handed the Darksaber at the end of Rebels by Sabine after she had it for a little bit. But now, so the question is, how did Gideon get it from Bo-Katan? This is another reason why, and again, she's not going to confirm this for me, so I'm not even going to ask her, but this is another reason why I think Bo-Katan has to come back. I wouldn't be surprised if she's back sooner than later, because, you know, how did he get it? And she's dead, or she's going to be looking for it again. And I think we're going to get more of them, because there's more Mandalorians out there, we found out. They're scattered, but a lot of them are toast. So that's why and how cool of a scene was it when the armorer smashing the stormtroopers' helmets with hammers and stuff too? I mean, this was a brutal episode, but it was a great episode. And I thought they were going to sacrifice her and she was going to get overwhelmed and die. She's like, nah, I'm not dying. I'm going to kill these humps and then look over my place. And I love that. And I hope that she sticks around too, because I thought she was a great character for the series. But they get out. They get to the lava boat. I like how, what's her name? Cara Dune just blasts everything. She blasts she's very proud of herself too. And she blasts for the boat and it goes into the lava. And she's excited. And then the droid on the legs, the astromech droid, we've never seen that before. That was funny. I didn't know what that droid was going to be doing. She just doesn't even try to tells the thing to stop after they find out all the stormtroopers are there and just blasts its head off. So many great moments in this episode, and it just flowed. It just moved. It was like one thing to the next. I felt like I was on the adventure with them. And then the Terminator moment comes, and IG-11 has that amazing moment where he's just like, "Don't be not time to be sad. It's okay." He's like, "I'm not sad." He's like, "Yeah, you are. You're sad. I'm a nurse droid. I can read your voice. You're sad. It's fine." But I'm out. There's no probability that we're gonna be able to survive this, and I can't get caught. So I'm gonna go blow these humps up, and you guys have a good time. So he does that, and it was a very Terminator 2 moment. He walks out, music's playing, blows him up, and then the final confrontation with them and Gideon, and that TIE fighter comes in. Still one of my favorite sounds in Star Wars of all time. It comes in, flies in, and that's when the magic hands line comes in, and then. Oh, and I got to jump back to the armor when the armor gives him the jetpack and gives him the branding and tells him you've earned it and all that, and gives him more about, we get a little bit more about the history, but it's the jetpack's really not going to listen to you until you start, you know, vibing with it. So he does. He gets up there. He has that Iron Man moment. He gets on the ship. It's where the Die Hard music plays. And I love that shot when he goes to put the first explosive on and his hand flies back and you see it blow up, but he just doesn't. This what we've learned about this character more and more. He just doesn't give up. Boom, throws another one down. Boom, throws another one down. And you know Gideon, you can tell the way that these things are shot when the characters are dead or they're not dead. Normally, if they're going to die, you're going to see him scream and go, oh, and then he blows up. But there's none of that. He just goes, uh-oh, and then it crashes in the background. Like, well, he's obviously going to survive. But the character of Greef Karga is so great, too, because he's just like, you did it. You earned your spot back into the guild. And he's just like, that's really not what I'm thinking about right now, dude. But he's like, nah, you did it. And I got this one to protect me. And we're good. He's always looking out for number one. And I like that they've established that. That's what I'm saying. There's so much establishment on characters. You already know so much about Greef, what he is, Cara Dune, the little things that you pick up on each episode. That's why I try to tell people when they say, it's fillers. It's not fillers. When you go back and you look, the only one I'll give you filler on is the, and even then, that might not even be a filler when we see what happens in season two, but the one where the bounty hunter one and the they're all bounty hunter ones. The one where they go when Amy Sedaris, that one when Bobby Cannavale's son is in there, Jake Cannavale, that whole episode to me that was the one where you could call it filler, but everything else. There's stuff that you pick up throughout the way, like little things. And I think we've learned in the three episodes that Cara Dune has been in, we learned so much about her. Same thing with Greef. We're learning all these characters more and more and more and getting investment from them. And that's why that end scene when they're all standing there and he's like, I got other things to do. I got to take this kid and figure it out. And then we get on the ship. He's on the ship with them. He finds that he's still got the emblem. He thought the one that he gave to Cara Dune, he thought it was gone. He's like, you hold on to it. And he's like, now he's got a kid. He's got a son, even so much so that, you know, the armorer told him that. And then it pans over. We see the Jawas trying to get into the TIE fighter. And that's the reveal of the Darksaber. And the second that happened, I was like, okay, this is, we're going to get, people asked in the beginning is, will there be references to the Clone Wars and Rebels? I mean, we're getting them. We're getting them all over the place. So we didn't get a reveal on who that mystery character was in that episode I was talking about. Episode five? Is that the one? Yeah, episode five. We still haven't found out who that is. Is that from next season? It could be. It very well could be Bo-Katan. Who knows? I don't know. But anyway, that's the majority. What I saw in this episode, I really enjoyed. I thought it was fantastic, and I thought it was a great conclusion to this overall season. And I can't wait to watch 4 hours of it. I can't watch the entire season as a one run thing. I think that's where we'll probably be able to have a little bit more than okay. Well, that episode was fine. That episode was great. What happens next? Now we know from start to finish. So I'm excited for it. I'm going to head on over to streamlabs.com here /the Schmodown because I want to talk to you guys about The Mandalorian. This is our last episode to talk about, so fire them in. Let's talk about it because I'm excited to talk Star Wars with you guys. So let's start with ZCM Zombie Custom Maps. Have you heard about the Darth Maul series? Is it a rumor or is it true? I heard rumors about it, but I think it's complete BS. I don't think it's true at all. I think that the only thing that we heard was maybe a potential Crimson Dawn series that was possible where he would show up to. So I don't know. As far as development goes, I never say that development shows are BS because everything can be in development. So, okay, look, we like that idea. It's in development. We have a script. Yeah, it's not ready yet. It probably won't be ready for a couple of years, but it's in development. That's kind of what in development is. So if it's in development, it's possible. But I don't know if it's close to being greenlit at all. I don't think that's going to happen. Although it's a recognizable character, but I don't think so. I don't think so. This is Scott O. Awesome series. The Dark Freaking Saber. That was unexpected and awesome. Does this mean Moff Gideon killed Bo-Katan? Here is to hoping next season's flashbacks are the Great Purge. It very well could mean that he killed Bo-Katan, at least had a fight with her or did something with her to gain control, unless something else happened in that time. But there's questions about where she is. So I would think it would be a complete disservice if you don't get Bo-Katan and get Katie Sackhoff in to do it. But who knows if they're going to do that or not. I would hope, because I think now that they've set it up that the Darksaber is out there, they'll explain more about the Darksaber. They'll explain. And I think this is a good way for people to go back and catch up in the meantime. If you haven't watched Rebels or Clone Wars, that you should check it out and watch these series, because a lot of this stuff will tie in for sure. So, yeah, and as far as the flashbacks go, seeing the Great Purge would be pretty awesome, too. Shug Knight 323, the episode was amazing. It had me laughing. I was upset, emotional, and I was fist pumping the whole time. Why did the show wait so long to mention Jedi? And how did Moth get the Darksaber? Well, the Moth, we're going to find out, getting the Darksaber probably in the flashbacks, maybe at the Great Purge for sure. Waiting so long to mention a Jedi was a brilliant move. It took 8 episodes of 30 to 40 minute episodes. By the time you get there, why wouldn't you want to reveal it in the season finale? You get in the season finale and everybody's pumped up about it. You're talking about it because that's the whole thing. Like anything, like in stand-up comedy, whatever, it's like finish strong. It's like if you have a couple, let's say you have a joke. Let's say episode 5 is your joke that didn't work, right? But your set closed out strong. That's what people are thinking about at the end. They're not thinking about, that one joke was fine, but the way that they closed was strong. Like if they would have closed with episode 5, the whole season's a bust. But it didn't, and they showed that this thing because they put in little nuggets like that with the Jedi and everything too. So waiting this long because they tease you, they're showing like the things that this little force-using creature can do, and they show it, and then there's more mention of the Jedi. So I thought that was pretty interesting. I liked that they waited, to be honest with you. Joe the Giant. Disappointed Obi-Wan wasn't the one who rescued young Din Djarin, but Death Watch made way more sense for the show. Will Baby Yoda return to his species or become a Mandalorian or both? I love the fact that Death Watch did it. It made a lot more sense, especially from the time period of when it was on and what they were doing and how it ties into the overall arc of Clone Wars. Obi-Wan wouldn't have made as much sense because if the way that they started out the series, I thought maybe it could have been Obi-Wan, and I thought it would have been Obi-Wan if it was in a Deborah Chow episode. However, as we got more and more, and he didn't understand or didn't even really, it was the first time he saw the baby use the force powers, He didn't know what the hell was going on. Even when he mentions a guy can move things with his mind, he hadn't seen anything like this before. If he had seen the Jedi rescue him and his family, he would have remembered it, or at least would have brought memories back. So it made more sense that it would have been Mandalorians. And I agree with you that I think it was pretty cool that it was Death Watch. Pedro Fernandez, I would love to see Kevin McKidd as Fenn Rau on season 2. So would I. I think that him and Katie Sackhoff coming into the show would be great, and a great way to do that's one of the main benefits for using really great actors like that for voices inside of the Clone Wars and Rebels, because you can hopefully use them if they're interested and have them actually play the character overall. Chris, now I'm going to binge watch this as a whole movie, a 4-hour Star Wars ride that my 6-year-old son hasn't seen. He is so excited to watch the whole show this Sunday. That's awesome. I'm going to watch the finale with my daughter tonight, and then I'm going to see if we can maybe watch the whole thing again together back, grab some popcorn and disappear for like 4 hours for sure. Sam W., I'm so excited to know Gideon's backstory. Everyone thinks he was executed for war crimes. I want to know what war crimes were, what those war crimes were, and how he escaped this punishment. That's right. The fact that that Cara Dune said that also. I mean, the rebels probably caught him at one point, and just for all the stuff that he did, with Alderaan and other things that he's probably involved with a lot of the Emperor's plan. And he's just one of the soldiers that carried out a lot of the Emperor's evil stuff. So he probably just escaped. Some way or another, and it looks like he's caught up in the arts, the Jedi arts or whatever it might be, because he knows how to use that sword pretty well. Pookie 715, they might introduce more Jedi lore into season 2. I agree completely. Maybe we could see Luke's Jedi Academy and possibly see a cameo from Luke and Ben. Well, Ben's not even, Ben would be super young at this point. I don't even know if Ben's alive at this point. Can you imagine the craziness from the fandom? I think Favreau might do it. It depends on when. Ben, remember, Ben is, Ben's 29 years old or something, or 28 years old when The Force Awakens starts, so he's really young. I mean, he didn't leave with Luke until like 6 years before The Force Awakens. So I don't know if they would do that with Ben. But if they're going to bring in Luke, they just got to figure out how they're going to do it. Are they going to de-age him? I hope not. Are they going to have Sebastian Stan? Like, what are they going to do? That's the tricky thing you get into, like a mention of Luke and a mention if the academy's up and running and Luke's still off doing his thing, but they're a Jedi now that he's been training there. I wonder how they're going to do it. I'm curious how they're going to do it. New lore is coming for sure. And this is Michael Dingus, who says, what's your favorite moment in season 1? Mine is the Darksaber cliffhanger. When it cut through the tie and I could see what the blade was, I started fist pumping. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. I was like, I was watching it in my room. I'm like, wait, that's the Darksaber. That was a pretty good moment. When he takes his helmet off, I think that they set it up really well. And I think that everybody's been talking about this whole damn time about, oh, why he's got this helmet on the whole damn time. Why is it? Because when there's so much more of an impact when he takes it off. It's almost felt like when Vader took his mask off, you're like, oh, you know who's under there, but you still want to see it. So I thought that was a pretty good moment. There's so many great moments in this episode alone, but if you keep going back, I think that the shocking moment is when Creel eats it at the end of last episode. There's so many great episodes for sure. Glenn Caesar. Hey, Christian, thanks for doing this spoiler review. What an awesome episode it was. I love that Mando got his jetpack and that we see the Darksaber at the end. I'm definitely going to be doing a full season binge in the next few days. Well, thank you for watching. I really appreciate that very, very much. And I'm glad that you're enjoying the show. I'm glad you're going to watch it in a binge. I think that's a lot of fun to do. I'm excited to do that also. I will be doing a full season binge for sure. There's no doubt about it. Let's do Pookie 17 again. Excuse me, 715. I'm starting to agree with you that television is the future of Star Wars. You started saying that a long time ago, and it's a good call by you. I'm ready to move on from the movies. I might get the hunger back in 5 to 10 years right now, but I'm burnt out. And I think that's the biggest thing. I think that there's just no, I think it's a no-win situation with movies right now. I think that it's too much to cram in. I think there's too much money that they put into these movies. There's no reason these movies should cost $200 to $300 million. I think that this show shows that you can do smaller, and smaller budget being $120 million. It's basically $120 million for a 4-hour movie. right? So I think you can do a smaller scale and do these kind of locations and make it seem more of the OT type of feel, and I think you can make the type of Star Wars that at least myself and a pocket other people want to see. And maybe not everybody wants to see that. Maybe people like the big spectacle. To me, it's a little overproduced, the newer movies. And I think that that's... I think that it's because they just have too much to do. There's too many expectations. And I think that you can't develop a story the whole way through. The only way that you can do it, and Kathleen Kennedy said they're not going to do trilogies anymore, or they didn't necessarily say they're not going to do series of films. They just say they're not going to limit it to trilogies. But I also think that means like, you know, if we do a good movie on our first movie and we like it and we think it deserves a sequel, then we'll come up with a sequel. That's a recipe for disaster. I think that the biggest problem with the new trilogy is that they should have said, okay, here's a treatment. Here's a big treatment that we have of where it's going to go from 7 to 9. Even if we don't have all the directors on that we want, we know that where we want to take this thing and where it starts and where it ends and all the twists and all the things that we have. And of course, if there's new directors that want to add new things, we welcome that. But here's what we want to do from 7 to 9. That's clearly what has been happening in this show, and I think why it's working. And I think that's why in television, you have a better chance in television to please people, because it looks like you knew where you wanted to go, and you also are with these characters and developing through them, because we have like over 7 hours of material in 3 movies and not even close to the amount of development that's been done in 1 season of 4 hours of television in 8 episodes. So overall, I just think television is the way to go. And I agree with you, though. I think that in like 4 or 5 years, when they brought on another movie, depending on what the movie is, I'll be interested to see it in the theater. I just think that I would be okay because of the way TV has changed now. And if this was like, you know, network television 20 years ago, and when they even rumored to put this on ABC at one point, not Mandalorian, but the Star Wars series was going to be on ABC, like that, I have no interest in that because of the handcuffs that network television has. But streaming, it's, you put a mini movies on TV every week, and with the ability to really expand lore, character, and you're not constricted to the confines of just of everything that the cliches of movies and I don't know. I'm over the movies. I really want to see. I'm so excited to see Obi-Wan. I'm so excited to see what they can do if they do Cassian. Will they explore the Empire side as much as they explore the Rebel side? I don't necessarily think I'm too excited about that show yet, but that doesn't mean that I don't want it. I want to know more about it and where it leads. And do we see, I think that show could be a political show. And I think Star Wars politics, when done well, is just great, and it's intriguing, and it's, and like, read Claudia Gray's Bloodline, which I think Bloodline to me does politics very well, as does Lost Stars. So I think, shoot, man, Lost Stars, that's one of the things I hope that they do. They won't, at least anytime soon, but there's so much material. They have so many books. They have so many, I still never understood that comment when Kathleen Kennedy said, we don't have any source material. You have tons of source material. You have novels and comics and all of these things. Take a novel. Take one of your novels, whether it's the Darth Bane trilogy, or if it's Darth Plagueis, or if it's Lost Stars, or any of these books, and adapt it into a series. Adapt the Knights of the Republic into a full-on series. It's like, who cares if some of the people know it? I knew what was coming when I saw Harry Potter. It's like, why not show me what it looks like as a series? You have all this material. If they made like an 8-episode miniseries out of that Darth Plagueis novel, and they're able to explain a little bit of stuff that was not explained at all in episode 9 inside of that, with like a Tom Hiddleston as like a young Palpatine or something along those lines, and we actually see Darth Plagueis this time around with James Luceno's novel, I'm telling you, that show would hit. That show would hit big. But what the hell do I know? I'm just some idiot that screams about theme parks. All right, let's go back into, I don't know, let's get to some more, we'll do some more Streamlabs questions, and then, what else, let's see, okay, let's see, now we get to Michael Dingus. When will they let us know when season 2 will drop? I don't know, I'm not sure. Hopefully sooner than later. Pookie 715. That was 5 to 10 years, not 510 years. No, I got it. Okay. And Ben Rayner, you got an Iron Man vibe from the jetpack, but I got a vibe from the Rocketeer. 100%. Darksaber was awesome. Will we get an answer one way or another about Boba Fett next season? May the song be with you. Maybe. Maybe so about Boba Fett. I think that's possible. I think that's possible that we could. Let's see. John Favreau just confirmed season two is coming fall of 2020 and posted an image of a Gamorrean. That's great. So fall 2020. That's what I thought this morning. We talked about it, and I think that makes sense. I think that makes sense because if you look at it, you got at least one Marvel show. So I'm looking at it. So fall 2020. I think that's awesome. I think that makes sense. It's about a year for the popular series, and the question now is that I think that pretty much guarantees that Obi-Wan's going to come out in like February of 2021, right? February or March, maybe so. Okay, I'm still looking at Streamlabs here, guys. Streamlabs.com/schmodown. Pookie715. I hope to always hear your views and opinions on Star Wars. I started watching you back before Force Awakens came to theaters. I completely understand that you don't want to do a spoiler review on Rise of Skywalker, but Star Wars is in your blood. We love it. Well, I love talking about The Mandalorian, and I'm glad that we could do it, and I'm glad this is our last episode that we get to do together. So I'm going to try to at least start. I'm going to try to start the watch along in just a second. I want to get to the super chest. What would help is what I can do in order to pass the time here. Is that maybe instead of doing Streamlabs once we start, just do Super Chats, and I'll read them off as we're doing the watch-along. So why don't you gear up the show to, let's see, let's do 2 seconds. Do 2 seconds into the watch-along, excuse me, the Disney Plus app, and then we'll do the watch-along. We will watch the preview also, so that way you know. Okay, let's see. Let me see if there's any other Streamlabs before I get into the next one. I'm going to do some of the super chats here. Okay, let's start. All right, so Scott Plezitz on SEN Live said, can you give a quick explanation of the Darksaber? And I think I gave a little bit of it in the beginning. It said it originated in the old Republic era. One of the Vislas was the... It was one of the first Mandalorians to become a Jedi. It was the first Mandalorian to become a Jedi. Tara Vizsla. And then took it back to Mandalore. And through that time, there was other people who had it. It was really a source of like power and leadership. And Darth Maul took over with it. And then it went to Sabine. And there's a lot of history behind it. And I'm glad that they brought it back. She got it on Dathomir, and that's a whole big episode arc on Rebels. And I think it was Rebels season. Was it the final season? It was definitely the same season of where Obi-Wan and Maul got into it for sure. All right, let's see. Now we got Morse code Z. I just wanted to say I couldn't use Streamlabs because it wanted me to create an account, which it hadn't done that before. Their sign-up process scares me. Sorry. All right. Well, hey, you're using it, whatever you can do, my man. I appreciate it. Ken Reels. Favreau just tweeted that season two is fall 2020. Thank you. Major Zuma. I loved all the info that Moff Gideon dropped, and that final shot with him on the tie was perfect. It was incredible. It looked like something right out of the art that they put on the screen at the end of it. Trev Fishby. If they keep helmets on, they can do Sabine easy. True. They definitely could, and they could use Tia. I think use her for sure. And they could probably use her whether they did or they didn't. Remove her helmet. Soundwave Chronicles, IG kills it. Jetpack final piece, full blown Mando. Yep, he's ready. He's ready to go now. Jack Wagon, bummed his signet was the Mudhorn. Bad fight. I liked it was the Mudhorn. I think that was that kind of links. That's again that episode. Links in so much, and it was his spirit comes out with that fight. He's ready to go. There's so many times he's ready to just give it up. He just has the knife out. He's like, I'm dead. And then the baby saves him. And then he's ready again. He's like, I'm dead. And then IG saves him. The guy is ready to go out a bunch of different times in this series, but he just keeps fighting, and it's his spirit. So I think the Mudhorn signifies his spirit. So I dig that. Major Zuma. In Rebels, Bo-Katan says she expects the Empire to send everything they can to crush Mandalore. Seeing the state of the Mandos in this show, she was right. That's right. She does say that. This is a continuation of Rebels, this show. It really is. It's a full-on continuation of Rebels. Prison 76. Grief is hilariously theatrical. He's trying to eat me. Carl is awesome in this role. He's phenomenal in this role. He's really good in this role. I'm digging everything about him in this role. John Favreau just confirmed season 2 coming fall. And yeah, okay, so we did that one. Let's see if there's anything else here before I move into the actual watch-along. Jim Mason, do you think that Paz Vizsla, the heavy Mandalorian from episode 3, who was voiced by John Favreau, made it off of Navarro before the rest of them were wiped out by the Imperial Remnant? I do think that he made it out. I think he made it out. I think that it'll probably be, I don't be surprised if he doesn't, if he shows up in a Favreau episode for sure. And this is from Thomas Duran. John Favreau just confirmed everybody's, oh, that one I just read, sorry. G. Paul, this season was a bit more simplistic in terms of story than I thought it would be, although I loved the first 3 episodes and the penultimate one. It was simplistic in the fact that I think that I don't disagree when you say, like, it's clearly very episodic, where there was almost like an adventure of the week type thing. I don't disagree with that. And I think that starts to happen really after chapter 3. Like 1, 2, and 3, I think, all tie together. And then chapter 4, 5, and even 6 are all very episodic in, like, as far as an adventure goes. But I think 7 and 8 ties it all back in together. And I think that's what the way that they say this, what this show is going to be, then I'm all right with that, as long as it's not the same thing every week. And as long as there's a couple episodes that he's going to go on these things and these things will happen, like it's like a little side adventure to where next, like, it's going to happen next season. Be prepared for it. It's when he's going on this mission to reunite this thing with the Jedi, he's going to run into the other side adventures and other people from his past and other things. And that's what we're going to get throughout this show. And if it all ties back into the overall through line to which what this was and introduced Gideon at the very end of it, I thought it tied in very nicely from the way they set it up to the start to the way that it ended with a little side adventure. So if that's the case and that's simplistic, I'm okay with it being simplistic for me. Okay, then we get to Dragon R3 Born. Do you think we'll see Cad Bane in the Mando? I certainly hope so. I'm a big fan of Cad Bane. He's one of my favorite characters. I would love to see him. I don't know if he's going to show up, though. Third Man 3. How doesn't the Mando know who the Jedi are since he was alive during the Clone Wars? People who grew up during that time knew of their existence. Yes, unless we don't know enough about his civilization of what was happening, right? But you're not wrong about that point, because, like, even when, you know, at what point was that when he was rescued? Because even Darth Maul, right, who was running it and the Jedi were around. So that's a good point, actually. That is a great point. I'm not sure, unless he was kind of hidden from it, maybe didn't know a lot about it. But even, yeah, I don't know. That's a really good question, actually. You probably should know about him, to be honest with you. Jack Wagon says Revan was canonized in episode 9 Visual Dictionary. I heard that. But was it him, or was it like it was like a bit of armor or something, right? It's called it the Revan armor or something, but the actual character himself in his story wasn't. I don't know. I don't know if that's true, but that's what I had heard. Okay. So I think that's everything right now, but and by the way, the Schmobot is on. I don't know if I told you guys that. Did I put that on there? Where is it? Oh, well, I didn't put it on. Where is it? Robot on. There it is. The robot is on. So if you guys want to ask questions and you want to interrupt the show in the middle of it to do it, you can do that. Just go on over to streamlabs.com/theschmodown and you can get the robot in there. I'm going to try to do this full episode. It's a longer episode, so I'm going to see if I can. Let's see. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make one try here and see if I can get. I'm going to try to get this thing going. And then we will do a full-on watch-along. All right. So what did you guys think? What were your overall thoughts on the season? If you could, let me go into the chat here and just put it from a 1 to 10. A 1 to 10. Go to your ranking and fire it into the chat right now before we get going. Okay, so everybody, 10s. 10s around the board. 9s. 9s. Okay. Liking what I'm seeing here. Yeah, it's pretty high up. Pretty high up. 10, I have spoken. I'm liking the reviews thus far. Yeah, 9s and 10s. I'd probably go around 9, 9.5. Yeah, for overall. Yep. somebody mentioned that too, and I thought about that. Why didn't the baby try to heal Mando? They did tie that into like the life force thing, but I don't know if the baby. It's a good question. I don't know. All right, let's do this watch along. Now, like I said, I don't know. There's a very good possibility, ladies and gentlemen, that I might have to cut this thing short, but we'll watch it. We'll watch it as far along as I can. And we'll get through. Let's see. I'm going to do boom. How did that one go? Boop. See, that's not going to work if I do that. Nah, it's too. That's stupid. That's good. All right, we'll do that. Okay. Baby, just use the force. Yeah, that's true. There you go. Good call. That's exactly right. The baby used the fire. He used the force and was exhausted. He was out of gas. Good call. Yep. He just fainted and he was out of gas. All right. So we're starting in here. Actually, let's get to 3 seconds. Get to 3 seconds, and it should be paused on grief with the 3 seconds, and then I'm going to count down to 3, 2, 1, and then we'll start. Let me make sure that. Okay. All right. Everybody ready to go? All right. Here we go. We're going to do as much of a watch along as I can do, in 3, 2, 1. All right. I do miss our boy Werner Herzog though. He was really good. Yeah, Gina Carano is just I'm so impressed with her in this show, man. I really am because I was worried about it. Not anymore. I do like these little recaps because you know at least a little bit of what you're gonna get, right? When you see because you knew right away because I guess we talked about it last week. It was like, the Mandalorian's gonna come back in. I was like, yes, they're gonna show up again, and they kind of do. Yeah, well, you knew all that, though. I'm so I do. I'm bummed that Nolte's gone. I'm glad, because they stuck with it. But yeah, I'm. I love how invested Carano is in this show. You can just tell. And yeah, I mean, this is a fun. I mean, it's when you think about it, that he's mowing down his people. But he doesn't give a crap about any of these people, you know? Oh, wait, I got to bring up the super chat. Sorry. Sorry about that. I want to make sure that I got to your super chats. Hold on as we get to it. Okay. So Soundwave Chronicles says, no story link to 9, but nod to Jetpack. Force heal, tie crash. Yep. Jack Wagon, Sith Trooper Garrison was named after him. Let's see. And now this little logo comes up. Less we're going to see of it for a little bit. All right, so I'm going to be looking at the super chats here, guys. And as I'm watching it, I'll read them off so when they pop up. So here's our scene that we're talking about here with the two troopers. Because the troopers looked kind of badass in Chapter 7. But it's... So they turn out to be a Saturday Night Live comedy team. That baby is just incredible. He tries to jump out at one point. But yes, and then Sudeikis punches him in the nose. It's a no-no, dude. Ronan Unchained. Christian, Emily Swallow as the Armorer rocks. I think she's great. I think she's phenomenal. And I love the way that they handled her in this episode. She kicked the crap out of her. Here we go. Which one's which? So I'm trying to figure out which one's which, Sudeikis or the other guy. I think Sudeikis is that one, right? The first one. Yeah, okay, so he is the one that keeps slapping him on the top of that. Well, Adam Pally punches it in the nose, though. Okay, so Adam Pally punches it and Jason Sudeikis slaps, but it's... Like, this goes on a little too long, this scene. I got to be honest. I love the episode, and it's still my favorite episode, but this scene goes on a little too long, and I guess I understand why, because, again, you got Sudeikis, and you got this is the best. It doesn't even come close to it. This is funny. I do like that they keep playing with this joke and how they talked about even when Bill Burr thought how bad it was. I thought he was going to be able to shoot it. I mean, they're terrible. This scene is awesome. This particular thing is pretty great. Like it, but this is a scene that if it plays in the movie theater, it gets tremendous laughs in the theater. This is a movie humor scene, no doubt. But like, it's still just a second too long. That's it. Let's see. I did think the baby was messing with him too, though. I did. Yeah, and then you knew that IG-11 was going to come at one point. But like, you see what I'm saying? Like, it's still going on. Like, we started this watch along, and the scene is still going on. Yeah. He pops up. Yeah. But Pally hits it harder than Sudeikis does. Yeah, he bites his finger. And he hits it with a right hand. Yeah, right here. Yeah. Oh, that's a shot. Like, that shot's a lot worse. Like, I'm glad that they eat it after that. Yeah. Get Lloyd. Get lost, dummies. Yeah, but I wonder if it's Tag and Bink. It certainly seems like it, no? And then this is the end of it. This is where the comedy for the majority. Now it's over. Now it's a serious episode, and you're gonna like. It goes right back into that mode we saw him in chapter one. And oh, brutal death. Yeah, I love the way the IG unit moves too. Yeah, because Tyke is so good, man. He's so good, I know it's funny, I think 30 seconds to a minute shorter, and I think that it's, but either way, we move right now we're right back to that high pressure scene that we were talking about in 7, and this is where I thought the show was gonna start, but I think it's better that it started with that comedy scene up top than as opposed to disrupting this movement here. But this is like that Young Guns 2 movement, you know? Yeah, and that's when they bring in this cat. They always bring in the big guns. And we got the big gun in the first episode. We got the big blaster in this one. But the question is also, where is the Empire, like, where are they coming from? Because at this point, like, the war is over. Like, it's like, where are they stationed? Like, where, what planet are they on? Like, all that stuff. It's like, how many troops are left? Because, like, the Battle of Jakku's been over for a while now, too. Yeah, and this is, I thought they were going to escape down this pipe. Okay, so sorry. Let's see. Earl Walton just put in $9. Thank you, Earl. Carver Tate. Doesn't Gideon seem too reckless when attacking them in the cantina with his TIE fighter, considering he wanted Baby Yoda alive? And maybe at that point he was just over it, you know? But you know, maybe he, I don't know. Maybe Gideon's also force sensitive. I don't know. I doubt it, but yeah, they have no charges. And this is, I love his face here. He's just like, okay, so they're definitely getting nervous. So we're going to have to, we'll bring that up to them in a second, but you're not getting out. Yep. Okay. So this is the part that I think. I would prefer to avoid any further violence. So here's the bottom line. And I also like the dead honesty. Members of my escort have completed assembly of an E-Web heavy repeating blast. Yeah, this is, I love it. Here's some history for you. I am sure that Republican shock trooper Karrison the Dune of Alderaan will advise you that she has witnessed many of her ranks vaporized mid-descent. Okay. Excuse me. That makes more sense. I thought it was Alderaan that he was talking about, but it's not. He's talking about how a lot of our troops had gotten taken out from it. not the first time we get his name. Now, Pedro Pascal slipped in an interview and let out his name a couple months or a couple weeks ago, but this is the first time we hear it right now. Yeah, and now Knights of a Thousand Tears, and he gives this whole breakdown. Now that sets us up. Scott O. Moth gives great exposition. Mando's name. Yeah, it's the all of it. It's good exposition, and we learn more because I think it's a nice balance of what Taika does here, and Favreau obviously from the writing, the balance of the conversation into the action, into the conversation, into the action. We do that throughout, like, the moments. And I like Grief's always making deals. And he's like, how can we trust you? You can't. What assurance do you want? Yeah, this is great. I love this line. You can't. You blew the deal with me, and I'm probably going to blow the deal with you. So just you'll walk out alive for the time being. Yeah, he's such a good villain. He really is, because he brings like a he doesn't play it like a mustache twirling. He's just like, no, I'm a bad dude. You come on out, you benefit, and I won't kill you right now. I'll kill you later. I don't know why he didn't give him until nightfall though. He should have given him to like 5 minutes. I'll give you nightfall until your droid gets here to fix it up. But yeah, he probably should have just taken him out. Congratulations, everybody. Once again, if you didn't know, New Zealand rules farted. So to let everybody know that. Thank you so much, New Zealand rules. I think New Zealand rules, you should put a super chat in there for that. Yeah, see, she just wants to blast first. That's what I love. Cara Dune, like, normally you always see, you do see, like, the characters who are, yeah, that's, and then someone brought that up before. Gideon was executed for war crimes. How did he get away? He's like, no, that's him. Jim Mason, I bet that Moff Gideon has the resources of a hidden Star Destroyer with the fresh troopers and huge time. Maybe so. And now we know certain things from episode 9. Maybe there's other ways to play with it. And here comes the flashback. Damn 5271. Christian, you fucking rock. No, you do. It's my 2-year-old. Yeah, you rock. Thank you. So this is the scene that we've been seeing the entire series, right? And we were wondering, are we going to finally see what happens? By the way, how terrifying does the Clone Wars look in this show? It shows that you could have still done, like, John Z, has a TIE fighter folded up like that on any show? I don't think so. I don't think so. But what you know, like, it looks like Terminator's coming in here. I remember thinking, and one of my criticisms of the prequels back in the day was that there were no humans fighting, so it wasn't as, you couldn't get in, as engaged with the wars because it just seemed like, you know, you're just fighting these goofy robots. Well, the goofy robots was the thing. These are not goofy robots. These are terrifying Terminator-like robots. These droids could have, I would have been very interested to see if the prequels would have handled it like this. But nonetheless, the way that they took this and integrated it with this series, this to me blends together the old trilogy and the prequels better than the new movies did, to be honest with you. The lore and everything about it. So, but this is, you know, once again, then we don't see any Jedi fighting here, so we also don't know what planet. So someone asked before as far as how you didn't know about the Jedi. We don't know where these people were trained. We don't know these people that were stationed. We don't know the invasion that came in here, but this is when Death Watch starts to come in. And she says, I love you. Puts him away, and this is the last time he sees his parents because it looks like the droids, the super battle droids, take the parents out as soon as they shut the thing. And we knew this from a past flashback. Like, this is the shot that we've seen. Now, boom, it's over. Looks like the parents are toast. Here comes the droid, and at this point, this is when the Death Troopers come in and Death Watch comes in, and that's the end of it. And they just. I do, yeah. Oh, great stuff. This is a really cool reveal. But I understand, like, why he wants this. It's like, these are like superheroes to him who came in and saved his entire, like, and the funny thing too is, like, not that he's force sensitive, but if the Jedi would have saved him, like, would he have been in, like, you know, would he have been wanted to join the Jedi ranks? But he was saved by the Mandalorians and that culture, and they took him, and he was a foundling, and there you go. And this is very similar to, like, you know, almost chapter 3, right? But it's like this squadron that comes in of Mandalorians to come in, this war creatures who save this village, and And the question, I mean, what did, they don't really mention. They don't mention what planet, do they? This is pretty awesome. All of them. Yeah. He just takes them. He knows. He trusts them, like, right off the bat. But I like the shot where when he's flying up in the air and he looks back and it's kind of like, yeah, he's just saying goodbye. Like, this is it. This is the end of it. His parents are gone. Everything's gone. And the life that he knew, and it flashes back, and here we are now. Yeah. Yeah. So Moff Gideon was able to get his name through the through those. And what's he drinking there? What is that? Is that blue milk? Yeah. Well, so he knew right away, but he still, this is it's very well written, and it really moves well when you think about this. It's like, he calls him back and he's like, let's see. No, didn't get jammed. Yeah, what Creel? Yeah, I didn't do anything. It wasn't me. So, and now, this is when he was flying in. I was like, now how's he going to be able to blast through? But he's going so fast at this point. Like, why not? And they don't see, and they don't know. Is it one of theirs? Like, what is it? Oh, you know what? It's moving too fast. I got to start shooting. They can't shoot anything. And then he takes them out quick. Ah, oh, that sound that brings her right back to Return of the Jedi. Yeah, it's true. I love how the baby is just like loving the ride. But yeah, he's moving so quick at this point. It makes sense. He's going through. It's once they get to the front lines, you got to suspend a little bit of disbelief and you go, all right, well, this is my favorite shot to the Jawa. This is such a Star Wars moment. So good. And they didn't overcook it. They didn't overdo it. So shooting through them, and now all the attention is kind of diverted, and here comes IG-11 just wrecking havoc. But I like this move. This is a full-on Western move here. But none of them, even the Death Troopers, everything, their entire attention is diverted. But I would have liked maybe a line of Gideon saying to be careful because he's got the baby or whatever it might be. But it was a great shot where he turns around, protects himself, protects the kid. And it goes back to that. I mean, that first episode when we got the IG-11 shooting, Gina Carano is a badass. That's still Jesse Ventura style in Predator, man. Just firing through, and Mandalorian being the badass that he is. And the music, by the way, here. It's like the little rendition of the main theme. But this is why the Mandalorian is such a great character, for me anyway, because like he's not like this character that can't be hurt. He's constantly hurt, but he keeps going. And even And this is where I said, like, oh, they're going to repeat the beats of one. He's just going to fire out and just destroy everybody, and that was the end of Gideon? Okay. But it's cool to watch. Someone's going to check it out. And he's tearing through the stormtroopers, and now she hits him from the other side. I was like, okay. Seems that just the two of them are doing great. But this also shows, like, there's so many of them. And now the Death Trooper's like, no, I'm going to take this rebel turd out at this point. But I love how IG-11 is protecting the kid now. Yeah, and then she's kind of screwed over here. As they come, I thought she was going to be in trouble. I said at one point, come on, don't kill Cara Dune. But I knew that I was hoping they weren't going to kill her, and it seemed like they were. That they, I guess also because I heard Carl Weathers say she was shooting in season two. Who's that? Sean Gorman. What are the odds that Favreau takes Kennedy's job and Filoni takes over Lucasfilm Story Group now that Mando is a success? It depends if Favreau wants that job. I don't know. I think Favreau wants to do other things besides Star Wars. He loves Star Wars, but I mean Lucasfilm is more than just that. But I don't know. It's something he could do. I mean, he's made them a lot of money with Jungle Book. This shot. Oh, it lands right. See, like that shot alone. He's been through so much. Look at the Mudhorn one. He's been through so much, but that shot took him out. Like almost took him out anyway. And she picks him up. She's, yeah. Look, I mean, that's Cara Dune is starting to become probably one of my favorite characters
in the last, like, in a while in Star Wars. I mean, Mandalorian's up there for sure, but she's up there. I think she's one of my top characters. And I want to learn more about her, especially that she's from Alderaan. Burn them out. This is like I said, heavy action, pause, further the story, hit some good dialogue, further the story, get a big moment, go back to the action, further the story, dialogue. That's the beats of this episode. Glenn Caesar, Christian, not sure if you've done it yet. I'm a few minutes behind, but you might want to mute the TV and UCC that the stream isn't affected. You might want to mute the TV and you say, I'm all right. I've done this before. It's fine. If I do it lower, you can't really hear anything. And I'm talking over it the whole thing. I've been doing it for a little bit, but yeah, so this is the point. Say, no, you can't take my helmet off. You can't do it. Leave it alone. But to go back to the Favreau thing, no, I don't think he's going to take over, but I think taking over the creative is something that they should definitely do. I'd like to see him and Favreau be the executive producers of all the TV shows. Yeah, but obviously you knew he's going to make it through, but at one point I'm like, well, what could they do? They can't, like, you know, Pedro Pascal's even shown his face. They're probably going to show his face at some point, but he's not letting them do it. What's happening here? And she's like, no, I'm not doing it. Because I didn't know. And then I think at that point, I did think that the baby would probably help. But yeah, and this is that shot that we saw in the trailer of the fire kind of coming in. And now, I mean, all these bodies, like, everywhere. Yeah. And he's still working. IG-11 is still moving. Yeah, he's in bad shape, man. I do like, the bond that these two had formed, you know, and it's just a total, it's like a total respect, you know, and it shows why you could see, like, the rebel in her that was fighting. She's a good person, and this is it, and this is when the baby kind of does it. The baby's done this thing a couple times, but this is I love that shot, the back of his head. That's a full on. Tell me, that doesn't remind you of Yoda. And they don't use the actual music, the Star Wars music. I think they could have used it there for a second. It would have been interesting, but it's not that show. I know. Now, this does go back to answer the question of why the baby didn't heal him, because he's exhausted after this. He's only a little baby. And right now, we're at the baby's saving everybody. I don't want to check the time because then I'll pause it and screw it up for everybody else. But yeah, the baby passes out. It's over. So that there's your answer is why he couldn't save. So Kelly kicked grief first, and then he kicked. He's like, I got it. Come on. But I do want to know why IG stuck around. Curious about that. So listen, the other thing, if you guys throw in the, if you, I'll go back to Streamlabs after this, but if you throw in a super chat now, I'll read it right as we're watching it along. He's like, I got him. But, like, so he's here to protect. Did that's something I wish they would have said, though, too. I wish that that Nolte would have put him as a nurse droid for both of them. Maybe he did. Did he? Because if he is there to protect both of them. Kill me. He's like, no, I'm not gonna do that. Sean Gorman again. Was this the first time we've seen an astromech with legs? I think so. First time I've seen one that I know. Yeah, he's like, come on, take it off. Time to take the helmet off. I'm gonna save you. He's like, come on, I gotta help you out here. The second he says no living thing has seen me, he's like, well, I'm not living, so take it off, stupid. It is part of the Kree. Yeah. All right, no, maybe not. I just thought it was like CGI. It looks like he's actually there. Yeah. That's awesome. We're going to see him more, right, without the helmet? Season 2, you got to see him a lot more without the helmet. Pedro Pascal's the man. He really is. His voice alone adds so much to this thing. But now they're going through this maze. But is this when I don't remember this part. Why don't I remember this part? That's when IG shows up, right? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, because the back to stuff, and you know, it's the beauty of Star Wars is the back to, you just say back to, and you go, oh yeah, back to, he's safe, he's healthy. He's healthy because the second he says, he goes, ah, the Bacta's kicking in, and then he starts walking fine. You're like, well, how's he? Oh, the Bacta. All right, he's fine. Hey, Mando, the Bacta is working. Hey, Mando. But, yeah, I mean, because you knew that even, I mean, because Vizsla even told him. He said, like, you know, we got to pack up and move. So I don't know who he was expecting to find there. But either way. Let's see. So now he's walking through. And like this was a good reveal. Like I said, it's like there's always these big moments, and then there's like these bigger reveals. Like there's story reveals throughout this entire episode. There's so much more story and furthering of the plot. Once we see all the helmets of the Mandalorians, and he's like, you know, because we were here obviously in episode 1 and 3, and now as we come back in, it's just abandoned, and this is where the reveal of all the helmets, and it's like, I mean, that's a lot of people want. I mean, shoot, look how many helmets are there. Like the whole lot of them got taken out. So I do like when he turns like, did you do this to Grief? He's like, no, it wasn't me, leave me alone. But it's the Empire, man. It's like it's part of this whole thing. This is why it ties back into everything that we learned earlier. I want to make sure that I have. Sorry, Darren Lemmy says, why doesn't he do the hand magic thing? My mom said this every 5 minutes when watching Star Wars for the first time. Yeah, it's true. I loved when he said that. That was such a great moment. ZCM Zombie Custom Maps, kind of thought the flashback was too long. Same for the opening, but I enjoyed both. That's fair. He also says, John Campion mentioned he knew a source that Boba Fett would appear in the finale of this season. Interesting. Boba Fett appearing is probably still something that's possible, but I mean, obviously it didn't happen in this episode, but it's possible. And this is when the armorer is another. Armorer reminds me of, like, her armor. It's like something that, like, Conan the Barbarian. But I do love this. I do love this scene. She's still, I'm not going anywhere, but to let you know what happened. Yeah, like, a couple of them survived, but I don't know who. Here's what happened. I do like she's not going anywhere. She'll be. I did think that she was gonna come walking out without the helmet though, because everybody else had their helmets off. But she's. But nope, she's sticking with the culture. She's sticking with the culture. Sorry, still looking at the. Emily. She's great, man. She's great. And this whole thing here. This is another scene. This is the scene to me. It's probably the best. Emily Swallow is awesome. This is, to me, the best we've got as far as overall story and lore, because this is the Jedi stuff that happens, the conversation here. Yeah. She's got like a Cate Blanchett thing going, too. Manolith Enigma, the parallel of that Mando that flew off with Din, and then later Mando flying off with the child was amazing. Agreed. It was like he's paying it forward, man. An order of sorcerers. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't say that he doesn't know the Jedi. Like, when she said an order of sorcerers called the Jedi, he doesn't say, what's that? He might very well know the lore. So he doesn't say that. Johnny, did who say it's trash? What are you talking about? Yeah, so when we have this, as he's putting together, and he knows that she's going to... She knows what she's about to reward him and do everything to what he's earned. And basically telling him, look, you're the pops now. You got to take care of this kid. Bring him back.
Ash Arnold. Love this episode, and I love the watch-alongs. Do you think we'll go to Mandalore in season two? I do think we'll go to Mandalore. And yes, Jen, I love this episode. I do think that we'll go to Mandalore, and I think that's also where we'll see Bo-Katan and some other people, though, too. But it's like, let's get out of here. Carl Weathers wants to get out. Yeah, I mean... So that, I mean, that this is going to be one of those setups that we're going to see in season two now, when you see the backstory. The new mission is to reunite this thing with the Jedi. Ash Arnold, I love this episode, and I'll watch all the, sorry, Cameron Walker, not a fan of Boba returning. Is that something you want to see? If he does, he better be better as an antagonist. I am, if it's used well. If it's used well and it makes sense of what he's been doing since Return of the Jedi and what's been the mission and that type of ideal, then yeah, I'm up for it if it's done well. Okay, so a future Mandalorian is going to get Beskar armor that has melted Stormtrooper mixed in now. That's right, Commander Dameron's squadron says. So this is another, like, so as these troopers come in and they're just. This is when IG-11 comes running out there, pops them off, and says, "No, you're good for a little bit. Let's get out of here." I don't do the baby thing. There's like these little sweet moments throughout this episode, I think, too, that and I liked, and I was waiting for this, I think, throughout the entire series of like this crew atmosphere that he put together in 7 that I thought was good, that we're only going to get from 7 and 8 because it looks like we're going back to him and the baby on their own adventures. But getting the jetpack here and getting the overall... When he got this, like, you're full on Mandalorian now, man. Like, this is what we were looking forward to, because this is the kind of stuff that we're gonna go back in like season 2 and 3 and go back to this earlier season and watch the kind of progression of him as this character. And IG-11, though, I thought could have stuck around for a little bit. I get what they did, why they did it. But I think I was hoping he was gonna stick around for a little bit more. But I did like the Terminator 2 moment that they gave him at the very end. But I mean, but IG-11 really listens to the armor, man. I mean, she tells him, "IG, you take this, you do that, go fight." And he's like, "All right." Got like a real connection with that thing. But I think the armor and you got to bring Emily Swallow back. She's really good. And I think the armor will come back in next season. But you can't keep her on this planet. She's got to tie up with a lot of these Mandalorians. This is awesome. This scene is great, because I was worried when this scene was going down that like, okay, this is gonna be, they're gonna be bringing like 40 troopers here, and she's gonna fight off a lot, but she's gonna go out swinging. But no, she just takes a hammer to their balls, and it's the end of it. Oh, don't do that. Yeah. Because there's this one shot where what's the other movie I'm thinking of? Where, that happened in a movie before, but like when she gets dumped into the pool, and that shot, the taking half the helmet off, and then I love this shot here where you just see like the little bits go flying up, and she smashes them in the head, and that's it. You don't need to do anything else. I'd get out of there though if I were you. I think we figured this out, but this is the blasting part. That was a samurai moment, no doubt. Absolutely. Taking super chats and streamlabs.com/theschmodown. I'm going to take a couple more before we get out of here. Yeah, she smashes their face. So you're right. Yeah, I don't know what they think they're going to try to do there by pushing. Yeah, she's looking. She's like, "What are you idiots doing? I have a gun. I'm going to blast this thing, you idiots. Someone hold this kid, and I'll blast this." Yeah, get out of the way, dummies. I'll do it with the kid in my hand. I fought Cyborg. I can do this. She's so excited with herself. I love that. I love that scene, how happy she was once it. Thank you, Matt. Matt, very generous of you. Thank you. It was so cool seeing Death Watch participating in the Clone Wars in that flashback. I agree. And this is why you're going to see, I bet you even more so in the second season, you're going to see more tie-ins. Now, this droid standing up. Now, when it stood up at first, it was either going to be a foe or it was going to be another friend, and it turned out to be neither one. Just a guide. It says, well, that line, it's like, what do you mean nobody? You have a droid. The droid probably speaks droid. I don't think... Carl Weathers is... What
I would love to be in the room when someone said, well, listen, who do we think would be great for grief? Let's get Carl Weathers. Like, how does Carl Weathers come up in the conversation? I'm so glad he did. Like, it's such like a random casting. It wasn't like he was doing a lot of stuff, was he? I mean, he's doing some stuff, but not a lot of stuff. I love that Carl Weathers is back in the atmosphere. He was one of my favorites. Paolo, that thing's creepy looking. The red eyes. Yeah, I was wondering, though, as we watched a scene earlier this morning, because RB3 hadn't seen, he was up to this point, and we watched this whole part of it again. And it's like, does IG-11 have to die? Because, I mean, it is a full squadron, but, like, they'd gotten through worse before. But I guess because of the way that they're cornered, they probably just get mowed down the second she just didn't even try. Why'd she shoot that droid's head off? She probably could have just asked it nicely and probably would have stopped. Yeah, maybe at that point. She's always, that's always her. I'm surprised she's still alive because she always just wants to fight first. She doesn't think about, like, well, let's do this. But no. He's calling him pal now. Came around on this droids. And that was when you go back to the preview in the beginning where she's like, you really got a thing for droids. He's coming around to it. I would like to see him get a buddy, though, like, besides the baby. I'd like to see him get, like, a buddy. Because he had a buddy. All his buddies are dying. Like, I know that Cara Dune is, but she's sticking around. Grief is kind of, you know, he's out for himself. And IG, I thought, would have been kind of like his Chewbacca, but now he's toast, too. I do like this. He just knows it. He knows the odds, man. He knows it's like this is it. The Iceman, 101418. Do you think Bo-Katan will be the one who trained Mando? It feels like they are setting up a past relationship as well as tying Mando to the Darksaber. I think it's absolutely Bo-Katan. They could set it up for sure, and I think that they should. I think that she unless Gideon killed her for the Darksaber, and we find that out later on. But I'd like to bring her back. And then I do like that he has formed this relationship with the baby, and he just steps out. And if you hear it, you listen. Like, the two pieces of music I want to point out. Obviously, the first is even that when he steps in, very similar to the Terminator. It's got that moment because he's done. I mean, the second he steps in that lava, it's over. Jack Wagon, Mando could have flown out and taken care of them. Not yet. Remember, he hadn't used it yet. So, I mean, he could have taken them both into the lava, too. So it's probably not worth the risk. But at this point, when he's walking out, he's already, he's Gonski. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess at that point, if they come out, they could blast it from both sides. Yeah. This, and I do like, again, set up in episode one about the self-destruct thing. Can't get captured. Boom. Now it's over. Now you're gone. Just push back a little bit on that fire. And then this, I want to get to that scene that I was telling you guys about when, with the music anyway, like, listen to it, like, turn it up once he hits the TIE fighter. And if you're big diehard fans, then you'll hear it. Okay. Thank you. Everybody putting in the Streamlabs and I'll get to them in a second. Everybody reading the Shmobots. Excuse me. Well, Shmobot is open, but not the Shmobot. The Super Chat, I'm reading them now. Jack Wagon, right, because he learns to fly 1 minute later. Well, yeah, I know. He does learn. It's the fact that he's got it on. Remember, she said he's got to pair up with him. So he's taking the risk. At least it's open. It's in the open out here as opposed to being in the lava. Yeah, the baby hands. It's a great moment. It really is. Yeah. So this is where I want to turn this music up. Yeah, he puts it on. He says, "All right, I'm going to try to do it now." As it comes flying through, this is that shot. This is the end we've been waiting for at least. It's funny because even Gideon, who's only been introduced in the last episode, is already a menacing villain. Here it is. Okay, here's that. Here's the Die Hard music. Comes into it, and he knows he's ready for it, and he's, you know, back to stuff. Definitely, he's all healed up now. So he does the jump. Where is it? I got to play the music. I got to play it. I get shut down. I got to hear it. Where is it? And not yet. Wait. Yeah. That's it. Oh, so Die Hard. That's so crazy. Do you hear it? You guys hear the Die Hard part? It's still going on. Anyway, so I'm excited to learn more about Gideon also. And like that shot too, where he lost the explosive, and he doesn't give up, man. This is the thing about the Mandalorian from the very end of it. We get the shot of he's got one, he's got two, and he just jumps off. And he knows. But you know right here he's not toast. He's not dead because he said no. And, yeah. And they show another shot of him surviving. They want to make it clear that he's not dead. Yeah. So, for us, that's the only victory that we need right now. And Kara's still got the kid. Mandalorian's still learning kind of how to fly a little bit. And there he is. He's walking over. Is it... I love Grief is awesome. He's like, it's impressive. Good for you. Now you're back in the guild. Let's do a job. And she knows she wants to, and she's going to stick around and stay. But don't you think, why is she going to stay though? Don't you think that the Empire would still stick more people in there? He can fly now. That's funny. Yeah. So he's still trying. I mean, Grief's still trying to make a deal here, trying to get him to stick around. And they've all been through this. And, you know, this when you watch 7 and 8 as a full-on episode alone, oh, that's pretty adorable. I didn't even notice that he did that when he grabbed his leg. Yeah, he's getting, his heart's getting bigger and bigger too, Mando. Or, come on, Mando, heart's getting bigger. And then the question is, do we think the Widow's going to come back at one point? Is he going to go see the Widow? I don't know. Why doesn't Cara Dune go with him, though? Cara should go with him, help him on this mission. To bring him back to... Who's he bringing him back to? He's got to find his... Maybe that's the thing that he's going to find out as he's doing... Maybe he doesn't know enough about what happened to the Jedi that he's going to do more of a investigation to find out that there's only a couple left. I'm so pumped now to find out, like, where are we going? But next year, we got a full year now to wait for, like, fall. It's like October, November to find season 2. But people will be excited about it. I'm glad that they're not rushing it. To me, it's so funny, though, like when people were so up in arms about having a Star Wars movie every year. TV is usually every year. Stranger Things every year. Game of Thrones was like every year, even though when they, and if God forbid, if it went in a year and a half, 2 years, people would go nuts. So a Star Wars series every year, that was a nice moment, sad moment, but nice moment of the helmet there. I miss you, Nolte. I'm all right. I'm just laying on the rocks. Ronan Unchained, what if the armorer is the one who saved Mando? Yo, could be. Didn't look like it, though. It looked like she was a little shorter than the one who saved him. But this is a good way to get us into that familiar feel that we felt over the season of them, the kind of partners in crime. So, what do you got now? He's like, what are you chewing on? It does remind me of my 2-year-old. And it's like, oh. You got the M. I didn't think I'd see this again. Pretty great. Jack Wagon again. Can't wait to see Dark Saber versus Beskar armor. Yeah, I'm curious how that's going to work. And I do want to see... It would be great, man. It would be great if they could figure a way to put Ahsoka in this show. It would be great if they could see how to put Ahsoka into it. And that way, I mean, that's... Because then if you brought this the baby out to the unknown regions... Because the baby, if they did a series in like 300 years from now, you know, they could still use this kid as like maybe, you know, having its own Jedi Academy or whatever it is. And it's past anything else that we've seen. Now, this was pretty cool. Where the Jawas were, the red-eyed Jawas. Picking up all the garbage, and this is where we see this is a nice reveal. This is a fun reveal. It's a fun reveal for casual viewers, and it's a fun reveal for hardcore fans. For the casual viewers, it's like, okay, he survived. And even like Winston, by the way, who's a big Star Wars fan, he hadn't watched Rebels or Clone Wars and was like, oh, that's a cool looking sword. That's the first time they showed something like that. I'm like, no, that's the Darksaber. And to know that you can then go back and watch more episodes about the Darksaber, but this is a great shot. This is a very similar. This shot, you could see the art. Like when they did the concept art, you can see that shot when he's just standing there. What a great way to end the series with him with that shot. But he's still on that planet now. So does that mean he's going to be going after Kara? I don't know. All right, that was the watch along, everybody. That was the watch along. I hope you had a good time. I'm going to look real quick, and I'm going to see if there's any other Streamlabs or any other questions that I missed on Super Chat, and then I got to call it a day. I went a little longer than I normally, than I was supposed to today. Sorry. So let's see. Let's go to Streamlabs. What if the armor is Bo-Katan? I don't think so, but hey, no, I don't think it will be. ZCM Zombie Custom Maps. I thought the armor was going to make armor for all the characters to fight the Empire. I think she would only make that for Mandalorians. Michael Dinglis, will Baby Yoda get his own Mando armor? Probably not. Douglas Johnson, just got home and saw you were live, so you might have answered. Any chance we see Katie Sackhoff's Bo-Katan next season? She obviously won't tell me if I ask her, but I would say they're dummies if they don't ask her to come back. I mean, it's perfect. It's a perfect opportunity to have her in a show like this and to bring her back in a character she voiced. So I'm crossing my fingers and hoping that she does. Kind of okay. Did a lot of those, and let's see anything that I missed in Super Chat. I think I got everything. Yeah, I think that's everything. If I missed anything, I'll have to go back over and answer on SEN Live. But I just wanted to thank you guys. Make sure that you subscribe to this channel if you've never done that before. Put the updates on there. Give a like if you can. If you guys are Schmodown fans, or even if you're not, you should come. If you're in the California area, SoCal, on January 11th, we're going to be doing both the Schmodown Awards and the draft, which changes up the whole entire season for next season. It's going to be at 12:30 p.m., 2-drink minimum, which would be a lot of fun. All of your favorite stars from SEN and people from Collider and a whole bunch of people there. So come on over and check it out. It's at the Comedy Store. And then if you're in New York, the SchmodownLive.com can get your tickets for January 25th. And we're going to be in Atlanta February 29th. And Alex Damon, the Star Wars champion, will be competing at that event, and that's all I'll say. All right, everybody. So I wanted to thank you very much for joining me here today. And this is Jack Wagon, who says, good show, Christian. Good series finale. Good series finale to you all. Thank you all very, very much for joining me on this run. This will be the last episode I talk about The Mandalorian until next year, for sure. So that's it. Join me on SEN Live on Monday, and I hope that you all have a wonderful, wonderful rest of the holiday. Be safe. Thank you guys for having a really fun, respectful conversation. Thanks for making Star Wars, talking Star Wars fun again. I appreciate it. So we'll talk very, very soon. Thank you, and we'll see you next time. Where the hell is this button? Oh, there it is.